Chapter 1. Bristol, New York, Cincinnati. The yellowed notebook is inscribed with perfectly straight lines of Elizabeth Blackwell's careful 11-year-old penmanship. There lived, as my story says, a lady and gentleman. It begins. The gentleman, a manufacturer like Elizabeth's father, watches his friends emigrate from England to America. And as he knew that his business was a very good one, and that he could bring up his children better there than in England, he asked his wife what she thought about going, though she was sorry to leave her native land, yet as she knew that it was for her children's good she consented. They would embark in the best vessel in the port, in a cabin just like a parlor, furnished with a carpet, a sofa, some chairs, a piano, a bookcase with several interesting books in, and a number of beautiful plants on the window seat. Music, books, nature, and nice furniture. Everything anyone could want in a safe, cozy space. It is the vision of a child trying to tame her fears. In August 1832, the Blackwell family left their native Bristol forever. The party of 15, Samuel and Hannah, their 8 children, a governess, 2 maids, and 2 aunts, boarded the Cosmo for 7 weeks and 4 days of malodorous misery. Cholera, a plague that had reached England for the first time the previous year, stowed away with the steerage passengers, several of whom died en route. It was a terrifying passage from the predictable comforts of home toward an unimaginable future. Then again, home had recently become less comfortable or predictable. A decade earlier, Samuel Blackwell, son of a Bristol cabinet maker, had claimed his place in the industrial middle class and established his family in a terraced house at the corner of Wilson Street and Lemon Lane. An ambitious young sugar refiner, he dressed in ministerial black, with a snowy white cravat, though his wife Hannah was known to indulge her frivolous side. She loved dancing and cherished her China tea service. The family was growing rapidly. First, Anna and Marion, and then Elizabeth, her birth in 1821 bracketed by the deaths of 2 infant brothers, both named Samuel. After this came a 3rd healthy Samuel, followed quickly by Henry. Soon there would be Emily and Ellen, then Howard and George. The 9 Blackwell children thought of themselves in alternating pairs of girls and boys, with Elizabeth the odd one out. Her nickname was Little Shy. Hannah Lane Blackwell found her calling in motherhood. Her own childhood was not a time she liked to dwell upon. "I was fitted with a dress of black in expectation of my father being hanged," she remembered. She was a little girl when her father was arrested, along with a female accomplice, not his wife, for forgery, his clock-making business apparently not as profitable as he desired. His protestations of innocence during his trial were undermined by the fact that he had tried to eat his counterfeit banknotes when challenged. Escaping execution, he was transported to Australia, and Hannah never saw her father again. She found a husband whose probity, if perhaps not his business acumen, would never be called into question, and devoted herself to managing a stable and upright household. Samuel and Hannah were idealists as well as capitalists, Protestant dissenters from the established Church of England, advocates of education, temperance, hard work, and self-improvement. Staunch Whig reformers and early anti-slavery activists. Wait, a sugar refiner opposed to slavery? British trade in humans might have ceased in 1807, but on the sugar plantations of the Caribbean, the English still depended on enslaved labor. Samuel dealt in a commodity tied to an institution he abhorred, and he dreamed of finding a way to produce sugar without cruelty.